sexy Kickstarter exclusive slipcover of Bloodstain.
Okay, well, let's not talk about that. All right, let's talk about Bloodstain. Let's figure out, is this game any good?
The answer is yes.
All right, yes, on a level of. So let's rank it for.
Okay, on a level of Mighty Number 9, on a level of Mighty Number 9, with Yooka-Laylee in the middle, and the high end of a spiritual sequel being, what would you say, Shovel Chris? Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Bloodstained is a solid. Oh man, I'm trying to.
It's between Yooka-Laylee and Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
Closer to Shovel Knight.
Yeah, it's okay. Nowhere near the disaster that people thought that Mighty Number 9 was.
Unless you got the Switch version.
Which is yesterday when the it got announced, like released, and all the issues with the Switch version were coming up. Mm-hmm. They sent a Kickstarter backer email to all of us saying, like, all hands on deck, we're getting a Switch patch out ASAP. So,
well, that's nice.
I imagine soon that won't even be an issue.
Yeah, that's very really nice. So I'm about 90% of the way through the game. I burned through it the last weekend. And I love most of it. Feels right. The music feels good. I'm pretty pleased with everything. I have a couple of issues.
Is the issue that you're not one of the pictures?
No, I think that's cute. And they definitely put a lot of people's pets as animals in this game. Because there's just animals that are just dogs' heads.
Yeah.
Blown up dog and cats. And I think that's super adorable. The issue is it's extremely vague after you do certain tasks. Like after you get the double jump, to progress to the next area, you have to pass through the spike pit gear. But it's not clear that that's the way to go. You have to brute force it. And then after you get another power up, it's not clear where you go after that. I had to go to the internet multiple times because if you look at the map, my map is mostly full, but I had no idea where the next mission goes.
Okay.
I think it's a little vague. Also, I don't know if it's the version or if it's my Xbox. It has crashed 5 times on me in the same area.
Well, that's what patches are for.
Well, we haven't gotten it yet, but it's always in the hub area, and it's always right when I'm trying to do some alchemy. So
okay.
It's a little obnoxious. But otherwise,
so, Matt, do you have any?
Do what? Sorry.
Is there any crashing issues on the PlayStation?
What version are you? What system are you on, Chris?
Xbox.
Oh yeah, I haven't had any on PS4.
Yeah,
like
that,
at all.
That sounds about right.
It's weird that you got it on Xbox. I don't know why. It just feels weird because Symphony of the Night was always a PlayStation game.
Achievements.
Ooh, look what it says on the back, Chris.
What does it say on the back?
Do 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 do.
No.
No. Do 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 do.
Wow! What a kiss ass you are.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Krizzle Blazzle. Can I show you the coolest thing about the Steelbook?
Yeah.
It has, you know, room for the game.
Sure.
And then an additional add-in if you also own the Switch cartridge. It can
sure.
It holds both.
I mean that's nice.
I mean it's cool. Why not? Yeah. It's a one-stop shop Steelbook.
Did it come with the Switch game also? Was it the PlayStation 4 and Switch game together?
No. I'm just, okay. You know, they, I guess they realized that. I think what actually is there's only one, they didn't make Switch specific size steel cases. So just if you got a version with a steel book, it just same size fits all.
You know what my favorite thing about Bloodstained is?
The fact that it's not Mighty Number 9.
Well, that the fact that it's good, first and foremost, but the main thing is that it's $40.
Yes,
that is a steal at that price.
Yeah, for the quality of the game, like, and you know what? It's weird. I'm actually gonna pull it up. How long has Bloodstained been percolating?
Like 3 or 4 years now, I believe.
Yeah, and what's crazy is I distinctly remember during the campaign he said this financial backing isn't to make the game. This was to prove to publishers that the demand was still there for a Metroidvania style game made by the creator of the Metroidvanias, like Iga. So I find that fascinating because I remember that, and I remember people going like, well, why have a Kickstarter? It was basically he was asking for 10% of his total budget, and the rest would be provided by the publisher. And I'm pulling it up because I remember the 10% initial asking price was definitely not what they ended up making.
No, they way overshot that.
They blew away. Like, I remember Mighty No. 9 was one of the biggest successes of Kickstarter, regardless of the final product. So Mighty No. 9 asked for... Mighty No. 9 asked for... There's the campaign. Okay, they asked for $900,000 to make Mighty No. 9, and they made 3.8 million. Mm-hmm. Bloodstained. Boy, it's really fun going back through my Kickstarter list and seeing how many amazing games started from Kickstarter. Like, that's just awesome. Like, here's Cosmic Star Heroine, and there's Hyperlight Drifter. Oh, good stuff. Okay, where is it? Ukulele. Bloodstained. All right. Bloodstained asked for... Holy shit. 500,000. So that was 10% of their goal.
Mm-hmm.
How much did they make, do you think, Josh?
I want to say they probably almost scratched a million.
5.5 million.
Okay, that's more than I expected.
Yeah. So they asked for 500,000 and they ended up making 5.5 million. And I got to tell you, I'm a little bummed because if I had backed one tier higher, I would have gotten a signed collector's edition of the game signed by Iga himself.
You should have just did it.
I should have. But at the time I was like, oh no, I can't. Like, I don't care about it that much. Womp womp.
Yeah, it's very nice to have like a high profile Kickstarter succeed.
There's been lots of them, but it's been a while.
Yeah. And I like Kickstarter as a proof of concept more than funding anything.
Well, so, I mean, I think we've had this conversation before where the high profile failures are what everyone always remembers. No one even realizes just how many games in the last 10 years have been because of Kickstarter.
Well, that's the way everything goes, is where you no one cares about your successes. It's only your failures.
Exactly. Like Shovel Knight is a huge example of that. Shovel Knight was a massive Kickstarter like darling.
Yeah, Shovel Knight's in the game. He's a shithead.
Divinity Original Sin, all those games were Kickstarters. Wasteland 2, all that fun stuff. But yeah.
No, I think it's great. I think it's definitely worth your time and your money. It's also not very long, as you can tell by burning through most of it in a weekend.
Yeah.
But there's supposed to be 12 DLCs, if I recall correctly.
That is correct.
So, might as well get it.
Oh, man. Do you know what the very first... I'm on Wikipedia. I'm on a Wikipedia black hole of crowdfunded games. Yeah. You know what the first Kickstarter game is?
No.
The original game of the people that made the Penny Arcade point-and-click adventure games, Cthulhu Saves the World.
Oh, wow.
They asked for $3,000 and got $7,000. And now they went on to make the Penny Arcade games and then Cosmic Star Heroine. So, good for them.
So, what's the next really big Kickstarter game that you guys are thinking about?
Oh, okay, so like the one that people are now waiting on?
Yeah.
Psychonauts 2 was a Kickstarter game.
Okay.
Well, we say Kickstarter in the same way people say Band-Aid. Like, Kickstarter just has become the go-to phrase for crowdfunding. It was Kickstarter. Psychonauts was a game made on Fig, which is the crowdsourcing thing where you can pay a little extra and then become an investor in the game and make money back if the game's a huge financial success.
Okay.
So, beyond that, I don't know. My money's on Monster Sanctuary. Oh, Boyfriend Dungeon. That's already huge.
Boyfriend Dungeon?
Yeah, it's a Diablo style game, but it's also a dating sim. Your weapons are can also become boys that you can date.
That sounds perfect.
Chris, you would actually super dig it. It's Diablo meets a dating sim, and I'm sending it to you right now. So Boyfriend Dungeon is definitely one, because I already know for a fact that one's like exploding in terms of awareness and people playing it, like demos and stuff at trade shows. But my personal most anticipated is a game called Monster Sanctuary. It combines Super Metroid with Pokemon.
Okay, cool.
You basically, it's a Metroidvania game, but the battles are fought as with monsters, and you can capture them and build up your monster army, much like Pokemon, except each monster then can open up more of the world Metroid style. So you can get a flying type to carry you over a chasm, or a fire type to burn down these vines type of scenario. It's so super cool.
So I don't know if this was a Kickstarter game or something that just happened, but Soul Seraphine.
Oh yes, I heard of that. You were mentioning that. That's actually a game. Why don't you tell us about it?
So I'm really excited because back in the Super Nintendo era, there was a game called ActRaiser, and that was the first Super Nintendo game I had besides Super Mario World. And ActRaiser was fantastic. I don't know if any of you guys played ActRaiser.
I did. Great game.
Yeah. Then I saw today it was on many game websites. Polygon and Kotaku both had it. Soul Seraphine, made by Sega and Ace Team. Ace Team wind up making Xenoclash and Rock of Ages. So I'm watching this video and I'm like, this is ActRaiser. The whole thing, the 2D fighting going into the civilization. And I'm like, this game is ActRaiser. I'm so excited to see that. Either it's like somebody was just like, you know what, let's make another ActRaiser game. That game was awesome. And I'm just hoping it's the same type of feeling of playing it. But I was thinking about it today that, like, there's a lot of classic style games that are getting modernized. And I don't know if this is a trend or if this is just where we're at right now in the video game industry, where either it's just going to be a major blockbuster or it's going to be an older game that's been modernized.
Either way, I'm all about revamping classic games that normally wouldn't ever get made again.
But it also feels like we're moving away from like that MMO and battle royale type, because it feels like the single player game experience is coming right at us.
Well, I think in regards to that, I think single player never went anywhere. It's just right. All the hype has been on the big multiplayer games, when in reality, single player has had like such a huge resurgence this generation, and it's been delightful.
It has been.
And here's the thing. Battle Royale isn't going anywhere either. It's just they're no longer these massive success stories. They're just present. The Call of Duty Battle Royale mode, still hugely successful. What is it? Fallout 76 just announced theirs. So it's still showing up in major profile games. It's just no longer the holy shit, everything was Fortnite.
Mm-hmm. There was a while where everything was Fortnite.
Yeah.
But that's how it goes for every game. One game gets popular and then we have 1,000. When World of Warcraft got big, how many MMOs were released in that time?
I don't know.
Okay, better question. How many of them are still around?
Exactly. Like, let's see. Failed MMOs.
Wikipedia's got to have an entry on that.
Post World of Warcraft. Like, it was all EverQuest. And yeah, 25 MMOs that have lived and died since World of Warcraft launched.
All right, let's hear them.
You know what? It's been a while since we've done a list. All right, let's do it. You ready?
Ready.
The 25 MMOs that since World of Warcraft has launched, and you know what? The list of ones that are still around is small. It's Final Fantasy XI, which for some fucking reason won't die, even with Final Fantasy XIV. Final Fantasy XI came out a year before World of Warcraft, 2003.
It's like Eve in that it's for super hardcore people.
Yeah, it's the and EverQuest 2 is still like chucking along, and oh god, what was that other one, Chris? Guild Wars still
Guild
around.
Wars, Guild Wars 2
still around. All right, yeah. But here we go. 25 MMOs that have launched post 2004 and have died since Warcraft Vanilla. That's what. Okay. This list was made last month. So right when World of Warcraft Vanilla servers launched, that's when this has started. So we have City of Heroes.
I liked City of Heroes, but it
2004 to 2012.
City of Heroes had a great character creator.
It did, and you know what? Not a bad run.
No,
eight years is a solid run for an MMO.
No, I liked it.
All right, here we go. This next game has been ran for 12 years, and I've never heard of it once. And I would be shocked if you had. You ready, Chris?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Minions of Mirth.
Nope.
From 2005 to 2017.
Wow.
What is that?
Exactly. Who even knows? Now, this next one, it's weird to think of it as an MMO, but it was. It was a casual MMO for kids. Club Penguin.
I only know of Club Penguin from meme culture.
Exactly, but we knew it was a thing.
Sure.
Also 12-year lifespan, 2005 to 2017.
That's crazy.
However, it now has a sequel, Club Penguin Island. So. Oh, good. There's still Club Penguin, just not the original.
Oh, good.
Oh, here we go. This one was short-lived, and I remember it being super hyped and then falling flat. I remember our friend Kevin was playing this a lot, and I think David as well.
Okay.
The Matrix Online.
The Matrix Online was a game of big, big ideas and bad, bad execution.
Oh, you know what? I don't even know if it's on the list yet, but that immediately reminds me of Star Wars Galaxies.
So, how long did the Matrix Online last?
From 2005, you'll notice how many 2005s there are so far, because World of Warcraft was 2004, became a worldwide phenomenon, and everyone started scrambling. So let's see, in our list already, we've had 1, 2, 3 2005s and 1 2004. Which the 2004 one leads me to believe that it was actually made concurrently. Like, not in reaction to World of Warcraft, because you can't pump out an MMO as quality as City of Heroes in 6 months.
Man, we were around when it went offline finally, and I flipped through the strategy guide at GameStop, and they had really interesting stuff that they just couldn't do in games.
Yeah.
I do appreciate, though, that when it went offline big, with a big cataclysm event.
Yeah, what better way to emulate your comic book inspirations than by doing a big crisis event?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
All right, so Matrix lived from 2005 to 2009.
Sad.
Wow.
No, not really, but
this next one is another one I've never heard of. Dark and Light.
No.
It lasted a year and a half, from June 2006 to 2008. Next up, we have one that was huge in Japan, only kind of big in America, but is about to come back thanks to the Xbox.
What was that, Phantasy Star?
Phantasy Star Universe, from 2006 to 2012. In the West, it died in 2010, but it lived on two more years in Japan.
I only recall the Phantasy Star that was available for Xbox, the original Xbox.
Yeah, that's this one.
That was still going?
Well, in 2000 in Japan, yes.
Wow.
Now, Phantasy Star Universe 2 is still going on in Japan. And that's the one that's finally coming to America on the Xbox.
Sure.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. Next up, guarantee you no one played this. Dynasty Warriors Online.
What?
Now, this started in 2006, made it to America in 2010, and died in 2014, but it's still going on in Japan.
Good for them.
So it's half a death.
What, What could you possibly do with a Dynasty Warriors game online?
I don't know. Dynasty Warriors it up?
No, that doesn't make any sense.
Here's another.
You join the army and you go Dynasty Warrioring.
I've never heard of this game, but it's still around in Japan. Dead in America. Fantasy Earth Zero. Does that ring any bells?
No.
Yeah, same. I got nothing on that one. Came out in 2006 in Japan and 2010 in America. Died half a year later in America. And it's still going on in Japan. So it was just a huge flop here. You know what? Hold on. Fantasy Earth Zero. I want to see what this shit looks like because it sounds super generic. Oh, yeah, that is.
That super is generic?
That is not a great looking game. I am not surprised that did not catch. Oof. Ooh. No. All right. In 2007, the world was introduced to Myst Online.
Who could possibly care?
Nobody, because it died the next year in 2008.
Can I tell you, the crazy thing I saw today was that they're working on a Myst movie or TV show.
Right?
And, like, why? Like, who, no one cares. Myst is super dead.
Well, you want to know what the game was actually about? Like, do you want to know what the MMO part of it was?
Sure.
Crowdsourcing solutions to super cryptic puzzles. The game was basically an interactive chat room where you would try and figure out, like, collaborate and figure out what the hell to do in the game.
That's just playing Myst by yourself and going on Reddit.
Yeah, except you got to pay monthly for it.
Wow, that's great. I hate it.
All right, this next one lasted way longer than I thought it did. Mm-hmm. The Pirates of the Caribbean Online.
What?
Yeah, 2007 to 2013.
When did these games, like, when did they happen? What was going on?
I actually remember this being sold in GameStops. And then when they started not selling PC games anymore, this was one of the pennied out ones.
Nuts. Absolutely nuts.
Wow, I didn't even know this was a game. And I love the franchise. That's okay, you ready? You ready?
Yeah.
Shin Megami Tensei, Imagine.
I've never heard of this.
So the people that, the same franchise that brought us Persona, made an MMO. It released in 2007 in Japan, 2008 in America, and 2009 in Europe.
Stagger that release.
2014, it died in America.
Yeah.
2016, it died in Japan. No death date for Europe. Can't actually guess if it's still going on.
That would be amazing if it's only played in Europe.
After that, we have Star Quest Online. Survived for 7 years. It was Star Citizen before Star Citizen, which is in itself a game that's still not actually out.
Yeah, Star Citizen, the biggest scam in history.
2007 to 2014.
Sure.
Oh, I remember this one. People made a big deal about this game.
Uh-huh.
Tabula Rasa.
What? Oh, yeah. This was hot shit.
It was the MMO by Richard Garriott, who he's known as Lord British. He made the Ultima games. Yeah.
Oh.
So after he left the company that was doing Ultima Online, that series died off. He made Tabula Rasa. It only turns out his name did not carry too much cachet because it only survived a year and a half.
Correct me if I'm mistaken, but wasn't he working on a one-to-one accurate sword fighting simulator? Was that him?
I believe that was his most recent endeavor.
That never came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. After that, we have Vanguard Saga of Heroes. This was Sony's one.
I don't know if it sounds familiar because it's a thing or it's because it's just a word salad of words that other games have used.
Well, this came out during our tenure at GameStop.
Uh-huh.
It was made by the EverQuest team.
Mm.
It just wasn't very good. But yet it survived 7 years, 2007 to 2014.
Yep.
After that, we have Warhammer Online, 2008 to 2013.
Okay, yeah.
Also, shout out to Julian in the chat, as always, being baller.
What up, Kogasu?
He's our boy. Kogasu, Kogasu, he's our man. If he can't do it, no one can.
Cool. What's the next game?
Wow. Hurtful, Chris. After that is a game called Free Realms. It was Sony's kid-friendly attempt at a game. Survived 5 years, 2009 to 2014.
That doesn't ring any bells.
Nope. Battlestar Galactica Online. I'm about to blow your mind, Chris.
Yeah.
Battlestar Galactica Online.
Right.
Started in February 2009. It died February 2019. This year. Battlestar Galactica Online survived a decade.
That's crazy.
What? When did you ever hear about anybody playing Battlestar Galactica Online?
I've never heard of anyone playing it. I remember when it came out because that it came out and the air was like, well, you heard they're going to make a Firefly Online or they're going to make X Online. And we're like, yeah, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
10 years.
10 years
of Battlestar Galactica Online?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Good for them, man.
Right?
After like, I'm not even mad. I'm more impressed.
After that, we have Hello Kitty Online.
Sure.
2010 to 2017.
That lasted a while.
After that, a game called Mythos. The studio that made Torchlight decided to make an MMO. So, survived from 2012 to 2014.
All right.
After that, we have Darkfall Unholy Wars. Never heard of that either.
It's another word salad title.
2012 to 2016. Marvel Heroes. This was killed when Disney decided to stop making games themselves.
Was this the one that was on the Xbox One?
Yes.
The one that I have 5 achievement points in that I can never get rid of?
That is correct, my friend.
Wow, fuck me.
2013 to 2017.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
After that, Firefall. Remember Firefall?
No, what on earth is Firefall?
Oh, that big first-person shooter MMO.
What?
It was a sci-fi game. 2014 to 2017.
Nope.
After that, Wildstar. I remember that one. Wildstar. Kevin was all up on that for a while.
Kevin is an MMO junkie.
He loves the dabble. 2014 to 2018. That game was notable for its melee combat.
Oh, is that the one with really intricate melee?
Yeah.
Okay.
After that, EverQuest Next.
I think I fell between the cracks of the EverQuest generation.
And by that, it means it never came out. It was canceled before it ever released.
Okay.
And it was retooled into a game called Landmark, which survived for 6 months.
Wasn't the EverQuest thing tied to like a Russian organization that was a data mining group?
No, EverQuest was made by Sony.
But later on, they were bought out by someone else.
Oh, I have no idea.
That's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Let's get the audience to look it up and find out.
I don't know. All I know is that, Daybreak Game Company.
Yeah.
Yep. Womp womp. All I know is that, you know what games are still going on that I didn't even think about? DC Universe Online. Still chugging.
That is still chugging.
It's wild. Currently ongoing MMOs. Let's see what we got.
Jeez. Was that the whole list?
That was all 25.
Wow, we went through that quick. That felt like nothing.
All right. All right. Let's see which games are still running.
Okay. Well, I know the Old Republic still runs.
Oh no! Don't worry. I've got a list.
Oh, good.
Got another 25 of currently running MMOs. Just in case you thought the MMOs were dying.
Nope.
No, they're still just chugging on. MMOs are a lot like the mobile games that you don't ever think about, but actually are making like $1 billion a day.
Like Candy Crush?
Like Clash of Clans and Candy Crush.
Like Dokken Battle?
Like you never, yeah, you never think of them, and yet they just are a money-making machines. And so many MMOs are just like released quietly, and apparently they're still going. So 25, Riders of Icarus.
The who?
Exactly. No idea. It's a monster collecting MMO. Also, pour one out for the fact that we'll never get a real Pokemon MMO. It makes me so sad.
Are you boycotting Pokemon Sword and Shield because you can't have all your Pokemon?
I'm not boycotting it, but I am not happy about it. No.
What do you mean you can't have all
your Pokemon? Are you going to set your copy on fire?
All right, I will briefly break it down for Josh because this is a topic worth having a discussion closer to launch. All right, so Josh, the developer said because of the difficulty of balancing and upgrading every, now we're closing in on 1,000 Pokemon, the national Dex will not include every single Pokemon. So you'll still be able to upload them to your Pokemon like the cloud, but you won't be able to bring them into your game anymore. We don't know which Pokemon, and we don't know how restrictive, but they have said that the Pokemon Sword and Shield, for the first time since Ruby and Sapphire, you will not be able to actually catch them all. Whatever percentage, it's easier to just say 50% of all Pokemon.
The ones that are available.
Yep, it's got to catch the ones that we gave you, not got to catch them all. And people are, of course, because it's the internet and it's gaming, taking it way too far and just brutal, like viciously attacking verbally the Pokemon company. I'm like, guys, it sucks, but you don't have to go full on harassment mode on it, you know?
Right. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I am super annoyed because how do you build a franchise on the tagline, gotta catch them all, and then go, not this time, fuckers. Like, and then the problem is, like, so many people have these dedicated teams that you've been building up. And, like, I curated a really strong team in Sun and Moon with the full expectations that I'd be able to bring them into Sword and Shield, and I have no idea who's even going to be available. It's annoying.
Gotta catch them some.
Gotta catch some of them, Pokemon.
There you go. That sounds better.
Anyway, back to
the list. Just enjoy the new Pokemon they're giving you. Get that Woolio.
I will get that Woo-Woo, that Wooloo.
Is it a Wooloo?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, back to the list of currently running. Oh, here's one, Chris. Did you ever think Defiance would still be going on? The MMO that was supposed to tie into the TV show?
Lasted longer than the TV show ever did.
Yep.
Wow, that's crazy.
Sci-fi killed the show in 2015.
My fondest memory is eating at the Defiance Cafe at the San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, shit. That reminds me. Chris, you're going to be so proud of me.
Why?
I set up my first interview.
With who?
At San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah?
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Man, ADD is amazing.
Sorry. With Chris Robbins. He is the guy running the booth for Toho's 65th anniversary Godzilla booth.
Hey, that's
so I'll be interviewing the Godzilla people.
I'm so proud of you.
And I did it because I thought of you. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this one interview just for Chris, and you will write all of the questions.
Okay.
Because I won't know what to ask other than who thought it was a good idea to do Godzilla versus King Kong. It's not even a fair fight.
Because Godzilla would kill him?
Exactly. Like, what's the movie in that? King Kong goes rawr and Godzilla goes flame breath, dead. Also, Godzilla's like six times his size.
But you know what? King Kong is sprightly. He's got some combat roles.
Nope.
Combat role in King Kong. If that's not in the movie next year, I'm leaving the theater.
Anyway, so yeah, I get to interview the Toho, the Godzilla people, because they're going to have a big 65th anniversary booth. Also, and may I read the features of the booth, I will have a green screen photo booth for unique poses with Godzilla. A live
photo.
Ooh, a live mural painting by the Godzilla artist Shinji Nishikawa. Ooh. The actual Godzilla suit used from the original movie.
Oh, wow.
Props from without the film's franchise history. SDCC exclusive Godzilla merch. So I'll keep an eye out that for you. Giveaways, photo opportunities, and much more gargantuan fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought so.
Love
anyway,
it.
Anyway, back to the list.
Back to the list.
This next one just launched on Xbox One not too long ago. Black Desert Online.
Yeah, this one's on Game Pass.
It's known mostly from all I know about it is that it apparently has an incredibly comprehensive and detailed customer creation, and you can make super sexy ladies. That's what people talked about. I don't know what kind of game it is. I feel like Black Desert sounds like it could A, be either a military MMO or B, a generic fantasy MMO. No idea.
What if it's C?
Both?
What is C?
Both a generic fantasy military MMO?
Yeah, yeah. They fell through a time portal and ended up in the past.
All right.
Fighting Conan.
Nope, it's a sexy lady MMO.
Yep.
All right.
Can't wait.
All right, what's next?
I've never heard of this. Revelation Online.
Is it a biblical MMO?
No, it's just a generic Eastern RPG MMO with big boobs.
Cool.
After that, oh my god. Chris, do you remember Secret Worlds?
Secret Worlds?
Yeah.
That was like the supernatural occult MMO.
Is that still going on?
That is still going on.
No, I don't recall that.
That was big for a brief moment.
Yeah, after that,
we have Star Conflict. Couldn't tell you. Age of Wushu. Also,
I remember hearing about Age of Wushu.
Okay, it's like a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon MMO.
Sure.
Worlds Adrift?
Nope.
Sure. Skyforge, still going on. Oh my god. Wow.
What?
Lord of the Rings Online is still going.
No.
That might be one of the biggest success stories of switching to a free-to-play model.
No way. That can't be true.
Lord of the Rings Online, still going.
Hmm. What? What's there even to do?
Fuck if I know. Fight Sauron.
Is there? I mean, I guess.
Bro, you are asking the wrong person.
I'm just baffled. I just don't know what else to do.
Here's another one. Hold on. Do talk amongst yourselves.
I would have bet real money that Lord of the Rings was not around anymore.
Well, I would have put the list I read before.
I'm still boggled that Secret World is still around.
I mean, if we learned anything, it's that if you have like even like five players, you have an MMO for life.
The same five players are playing the game over and over.
It doesn't matter. All you need is about five people walking around your world, and then all of a sudden, MMO is going to run forever.
Yeah, I don't get it.
All right, next up, Chris, you ready for another one that you would have sworn was dead, and yet is still kicking?
Yes.
Star Trek Online.
No, I knew I've. You're such a dick. I knew Star Trek Online was still live because I just got an email about the new Discovery Pack that came out.
Really?
Yes.
Right.
I will say this about Star Trek Online. I know exactly why they're still kicking, because they keep pumping out updates.
I mean,
they have had about updates.
It's just shocking that people want to keep pumping out updates.
You know what? People like Star Trek. They do. Exactly. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
The dog agrees.
I gotta sneeze.
Don't do it.
There you go.
Thank you.
Woo!
No, I understand why Star Trek still exists.
Well, no, but here's the thing, Chris. That works both ways. Any of these MMOs that we talked about being dead could still be going on if they kept pumping out content. But just because you're making content doesn't mean you're making money and people are playing it. That's the shock.
That people are playing it.
That's not a shock. The game is good.
Sure, buddy.
All right. You know what? I'm giving you my opinion. You don't gotta
poo-poo over. You right, my friend? My bad?
He's such a dick.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, you are. What's next?
What is next? Next up, we have Arc Age.
Yeah?
Yeah, why not? After that, we have Blade and Soul. Do you remember Blade and Soul?
No.
Me either. After that, Terra. Terra Online is still going.
Oh, neat.
The T-E-R-A game.
How long has that been on?
I mean, relatively neat.
I don't know, man. It's been going on for a while. This one doesn't surprise me because it's literally one of the longest running ones is RuneScape. From 2001 to 2019.
That's another one I just don't get.
Still going. I don't get it either, but it's still going.
Good for them.
After that, we have the last 10.
Okay.
Top 10. By the way, they've been ranking them in order of quality of ongoing games. So this list has been the best 20 MMOs to play in 2019.
Okay.
Number 10, Aeon. Aeon is still going.
I'm impressed.
I am shocked. After that, number 9, we just mentioned this, DC Universe Online.
Yeah, that's still rolling.
Still fun. Still gets lots of content.
It outlived both City of Heroes and Champions Online.
Yeah, that's crazy.
After number 8, Neverwinter. I forgot that they made a Neverwinter Nights MMO.
So did I.
All right.
Yeah, it's free to play on every system. So, yeah.
Number 7, I mean, of course it's still running because you still get the best stories ever from it, is EVE Online.
I mean, I don't care for EVE Online's gameplay, but I will devour every story of corporate intrigue and business sabotage that you can give me.
Yep. Just number 6, Rift. Rift is another one that came out when we are like our tenure of GameStop and just blows my mind that it is still a thing that survived.
That's kind of wild.
Number 5 is Elder Scrolls Online.
Yep.
I knew that one. They just released a huge new expansion.
Yeah, it's really fun. I played it a little bit on Xbox, and I really enjoyed it, but I don't do MMOs anymore, so.
Who has the time? And if I didn't have to play one, it would definitely be Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah.
Star Wars The Old Republic at number 4. Still going. Still going.
I'm sorry?
Which one? What?
What?
Did you not hear me? Star Wars Old Republic.
I love Old Republic so much. They had such really great storylines.
They did, and it was fully voiced. The cutscenes were so good. Like it was. It felt like the true successor to the World of Warcraft formula by just really upping it to have like AAA production values.
I downloaded it last year and restarted my accounts, and I spent 8 hours back in that world. I love it so much.
That's awesome. All right, next up. Number 3, Guild Wars 2.
I did not. Guild Wars 1 came out at the worst time, was when everyone was still in the afterglow of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, its biggest claim to fame was it was the free one. You bought the game and it had no monthly fee.
Also, you could draw on the mini-map, and we drew a lot of penises.
Yeah, damn right we did, because we're adults.
Yes. But, you know, two came out, and I feel like when two came out, that was when I was getting out of MMOs. So,
yeah. Number two is World of Warcraft.
I mean, I don't know how much we've talked about our World of Warcraft time.
Ooh, did we play some World of Warcraft?
I spent our evacuation time in Katrina driving around looking for a Wi-Fi hotspot desperately so I could log in on my laptop.
I remember when Kevin was living in his FEMA trailer, and the only thing that mattered was hooking up a fast enough internet connection so that he and Veronica could raid.
Yeah,
man.
Addiction. I remember during the peak of World of Warcraft, which I still contend was Wrath of the Lich King.
Yes.
That was peak. That was the best. That was when we were all still playing. Everything was fun. Just so many good memories about it. But after a certain amount of time, you're just like, all right, I can't keep up.
I do want to say I have the itch to play Classic.
Really? Vanilla? With yeah, all just, of the bullshit?
Just to walk around the Azeroth I knew.
Okay.
The one I spent the most time in.
It's true.
I kind of want to.
Oh, back with my old school paladin.
Yeah, and my old school shaman.
Good times, guys.
Good times. And number one, Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah.
Who is the new king. It's overthrown every other MMO in terms of storytelling. Like, New Republic is the closest, but the storytelling in Final Fantasy 14, it's one of the top five plot lines in any Final Fantasy game. And also, pure shout out to them for working in the complete and abject failure of their first launch of the game into the actual lore of the new game. There's a reason that it's called Final Fantasy XIV: A Realm Reborn, because the plot and characters and everything that existed in the original Final Fantasy XIV are now like the people and tales of lore and history in this new Final Fantasy XIV. They talk about the Cataclysm, which is basically the servers shutting down. It's phenomenal that they managed to work it into the actual plot line. And fun story, at E3, they asked the producer of Final Fantasy XIV if, due to the success and demand for World of Warcraft Classic, would he consider making a server where people could play on the original disastrous Final Fantasy XIV? And he just laughed and was like, that is a terrible idea. No, that was awful. Like, he was just like, he started laughing. He was like, why would anyone want to put themselves through that? It was amazing because I got it at launch and it was a bad game. It was a bad game.
I remember looking at the video of it when it launched and it was just so unappealing.
Uh-oh, guys. I feel we're guilty. We're doing this podcast when we could all be watching the Democratic very first debate.
Well, the plus side is that you can always watch it anytime you want because of the intertubes. Yep. Plus, I'm going to read about it tomorrow.
Apparently, Bill de Blasio is turning it up.
Keeping it on fire.
According to our friend Steven. Anyway, that has nothing to do with anything. I just thought about that. So apparently this became an MMO episode, but it's been a while since we did lists, and we had two of them that were, like, perfectly balanced, as all things should be.
Yeah. Thanks, Thanos.
By the way, go see Toy Story 4. It was fun.
No.
Yeah.
How much did you cry?
A little bit. I gotta say, I went in fully expecting that I was watching it just because it was a Pixar movie and not because I felt like it deserved to exist, because Toy Story 3 was such a perfect ending. But two things. It was a really good story in its own right. It justified itself in that regard. And B, the way this one ends, there will never be a Toy Story 5.
Oh, they all get burned.
Yeah, they all melted down.
Yep. No, but I mean, I'm trying to not spoil it, but it was like done in a really like good way, but there will not be any more Toy Stories.
There will never be any.
So the arguments will always be made that like there shouldn't have been a fourth, but just like Incredibles 2, the guy was like, I'm only making it because I thought of a story that justified it, and I thought that they did. So also, really, really nice moment where, you know, who's the guy that voiced a character in every Pixar movie and then recently died?
Oh, Don Rickles?
No.
No. Jeffrey Ratzenberger. John Ratzenberger.
John Ratzenberger. Yeah, John Ratzenberger. So he's the voice of Ham in Toy Story.
Right.
And because Toy Story 4 and Toy Story was his first role with them, they took hours of unused footage from the previous three Toy Stories, the video games, random shorts, and they cobbled together enough dialogue of him with the permission and blessing of his family to have him be in Toy Story 4 as a fully voiced like character that is part of the script and everything. I thought that was really cool.
I'm going to stop you real quick. You're thinking of Don Rickles. John Ratzenberger, still alive.
The voice of Ham?
Yeah. John Ratzenberger is alive. Don Rickles is the one who's dead, who they had to use all his old voice clips for.
Then I'm thinking of the wrong character.
Yes, because John Ratzenberger is 70, 72. Okay.
Then what the hell am I thinking of? Because I heard that story.
John Rickles as Mr. Potato.
That's it. Okay. Which explains why Mr. Potato Head didn't have as many lines as usual.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Anyway, thank you for correcting me. Because for some reason,
I thought
it was Ratzenberger, because he's the one with the voice in every movie. Okay.
No problem. I'm happy to help you.
Yeah, how Toy Story 4 kept Don Rickles' legacy alive 2 years after his death. Okay, cool. Anyway, point is, I thought that was really sweet, and I thought that was a really nice way to honor his memory.
It is, and it's good to stop the movies now before more of your cast dies off.
Yeah, or they become super problematic.
Yeah.
Tim Allen.
I mean...
Anyway, that's all I got. This ended up being the Bloodstained and MMO episode, and I'm okay with that.
I am too.
That's good. Yeah.
Anyway, get Bloodstained, Josh.
Yeah, play it. It's good. You gotta do something while we're waiting for what's that game?
Borderlands.
The shooting 3? Shoots. Yeah, the shooting shoots.
Borderlands. So the next big game for Josh, I think, is Borderlands. But the next big game for me is actually Control.
Next big game for me is Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right, fam.
And Chris, I am right,
we fam. Can play that together, son.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Whoop, whoop. I call Miss Marvel.
All right, whatever.
You can be Spider-Gwen.
Okay, maybe I will.
And then we each get to another character. Do you want to be Miles Morales or do you want to be Hawkeye?
I don't know. I want to look at the rest of the cast and I'll make a decision.
Or do you want to be Groot?
I don't want to be Groot. No one wants to be Groot.
Okay, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 character list. Current. Let's see what we got.
Like how random this episode has
become. Why not? Okay, you ready? Playable characters so far.
I'll say yes or no to them.
Okay, playable characters so far. Plus, please know that there will be 4 bursts of DLC that have been announced that are each going to add new characters from a certain thing. There's going to be the X-Men DLC, the Fantastic Four DLC, the Spider-Verse DLC, and the Marvel Knights DLC.
Okay.
Okay. Black Panther.
No.
Black Widow.
No.
Captain America.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Crystal of the Inhumans.
Not a chance.
What a weird choice.
Not a
chance. Daredevil.
Eh.
See, no, here's why I think you'll want him, Chris, because what's the one thing the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games and these kind of games have always been good for? Having, like, every comic-accurate alternate costume?
That's true.
I guarantee you you'd be able to have War of the Realms God Daredevil.
God, I would love it.
Oh, yeah, that would be rad.
All right, Deadpool?
No.
Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Drax.
Yeah.
Elektra.
Nah.
I already know the next one's a yes. Elsa Bloodstone.
Fuck yeah.
I knew it.
Love her.
Falcon.
No.
Racist. Gamora.
No.
Ghost Rider.
No.
Groot and Rocket Raccoon combo character.
Yeah, sure.
Hawkeye.
No.
Hulk.
No.
Iron Fist. Trick question. I'm playing as Iron Fist.
I know you are. I'm not even going to dignify that.
Iron Man.
Yeah, I'd play Iron Man.
Luke Cage.
Nah.
Magneto.
Yes, obviously.
Chris, why do you say no to all the black characters? I'm just asking. Inquiring minds want to know.
I haven't said no to all the black characters, have I?
It's true. Yeah, yes, you have so far. Black Panther? No. Falcon? No.
Oh,
they're not even like nine. They're just like hard nose.
Wow, that's weird. I wasn't even considering that.
Yeah.
Gamora? No. Drax? No.
I said Drax was a maybe, I think.
Yeah, you said so. Here's the best part, because the next one I know would probably be a yes, but now it's just gonna make it sound like you're saying yes because we called you out before. God, Miles damn. Morales.
Yeah, obviously it's a yes. Jesus. Now you've made it weird. Thanks a lot. Now I look like the asshole.
Oh my god. I laughed so much that I closed my computer.
Oh god. Okay. Miss Marvel.
Yes.
Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Psylocke.
No.
Scarlet Witch.
No, I don't think so.
Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Star-Lord.
No. God Storm. Damn it, who's next?
Storm.
Storm?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Storm. You've made me into such a piece of shit on this show. I hate you so much. Stop laughing so hard. It's not that funny.
It's Matt's reaction that's the funniest.
He's turning so red. And water's just leaking from his face holes.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, Thor.
Maybe.
Venom.
No.
Is it because he's a black?
Shut up.
Wasp.
No.
Wolverine.
Maybe.
Okay. Woo! All right, and then the confirmed non-playable characters are Ant-Man, Beast, Colossus, Cyclops. What a weird choice to not let Cyclops be playable. Maybe in DLC. Yeah.
Maybe.
Jessica Jones. Lockjaw, Nick Fury, the Nova Corps, Professor X, Valkyrie, and Vision. That's another odd choice.
I guess Vision's... Was Vision in any of the other games?
No, but I mean, he's been a big part of the movies.
Sure. I would think Vision's very hard from a gameplay thing.
I mean, I guess, sure. But you just have all of his abilities mapped to a special ability that have cooldowns and stuff, so there's like hardening... There could be a different.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying why he's probably not in it.
Well, maybe DLC. I don't know. But anyway, that's all I got.
No, I mean, I think Ultimate Alliance is going to be fun. And a lot of those characters that are maybes are dependent upon the alternate skins. Because if I could play as Lady Thor,
or War Thor,
I'm into it.
Right.
But like, if I'm playing Thor, I'm not interested.
Oh man. Good times.
By the way, War of Realms ended today. And it's awesome.
Good to know, because I haven't read it yet, but I did get the best cover, and I thought you'd appreciate it, Chris. It's really shiny. Hold on. Do-do-do-do. There we go. Lady Thor. Lady Thor. Do-do-do-do-do. Lady Thor. Do-do-do-do.
So I all the tie-ins finished up today, too.
Yes, it was a big War of Realms day.
I can tell you, the Punisher one is very good. The X-Men one is okay. The Spider-Man one is also okay. And the Agents of Atlas one I liked purely because I like that team and I'm going to like the Agents of Atlas book starting in August.
Okay.
Had a pretty good event.
It was a very good event, and it came out on time, as Jason Aaron Jason Aaron pointed out on Twitter, 6 issues in 3 months with no delays.
Yeah, it's a delight.
So I know the episode's about to end, but what about the crazy news about Vertigo Comics?
That's being rebranded?
Yeah. I mean, I think Vertigo never quite was what it was in the 90s. That era was just kind of perfect. And they've always kept trying, and they put out good books in Vertigo. But I think once Fables and Why the Last Man ended, that era of Vertigo was never going to succeed. So I'm glad it's officially dead, and these new books won't have the burden of the Vertigo brand attached to them.
And you know what? Shout out to Vertigo, because I think the most recent book of theirs that I really loved, like Clean Room, was good. Oh God, what was it called? It was shit. Damn it, Chris, you read it with me.
The Vertigo book?
Yeah.
I mean, I do remember Clean Room.
It was about the social media, like the Battle Royale. Oh,
the 99, I forget what it's called, Unfollowed.
Yeah, the Unfollowed. Yeah, that was such a good book. Did you ever hear about the concept of that, Josh?
Yeah.
Okay, and it was a short run too. Like, it was easily collected. So just to tell Julian, because he's been into comics lately, it was a story about, like, picture if like Bill Gates or Steve Jobs or the richest man in the world dies. He created social media. Like, he is the Mark Zuckerberg of the world, but on an nth scale. And he decides to leave his entire fortune to 144 random people around the world. As long as you were a part of his social media platform, you were chosen and you would inherit 144th of his fortune, with the caveat that for every one of the 144 that died, their portion was then split among the remaining members. So it basically created a battle royale scenario where people all around the world were trying to murder each other or hide and survive while everyone else was gunning for their cut of the pie. It was a fascinating book.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I feel like it ended early, which is what it should have.
Yeah,
because I feel like they would have gone on longer, and kind of run it into the ground.
Yeah, probably. I would have taken another arc, honestly.
Sure, could have, but I'm glad they ended early rather than late. So I'm sad Vertigo is dead. But Vertigo will live on as long as goth teens are finding Sandman for the first time.
And also the whole revamp of the entire Sandman line. I've been reading it. It's been really good. In fact, I got one right here. The new Books of Magic issue came out today. Books of Magic and the Dreaming specifically is the king shit on the mountain.
Yeah. I also saw in the new buried in the news that Joe Hill, the son of Stephen King, is working on a horror imprint for DC that's going to be coming out in October. And I looked at some of the titles, and some of the titles have some pretty interesting concepts. So that might be something we need to look into in October.
That's awesome. Okay.
So Vertigo's ending, but I like the Black Label as a brand name.
Yeah.
And
then it's not just, it doesn't have to just be like darker versions of DC books. It can now just be all of their mature rated books.
Yeah. And I do believe that the Vertigo name was more of a hindrance than anything else for the last, I don't know, let's say 6 years.
Yeah. Cause they kept trying to revamp it and relaunch it, and it just didn't have the cachet needed.
Which is sad, but it is what it is.
It is. You right.
So I think we've done enough this week. So next week, what are we talking about, Matt?
Shit, I don't know. What's next week?
I don't know. It's Wednesday.
Oh, the 4th anniversary of Dokken Battle.
Hey! Live summons all show.
All show, baby. Pew, pew. Oh. Except we don't have this. we don't have the setup that actual Dokken streamers have, so it's just gonna be us holding up our phone to the camera.
Yeah. Really. Josh, excited. You should download Dokken Battle for the 4th anniversary so you can get all these hot summons.
Yeah, bro.
Nope. I'm good.
Okay. Matt, when are you going to San Diego Comic-Con?
The following week. I am going, or the following 2 weeks, will be in San Diego for San Diego Comic-Con from the 17th to the 22nd.
Right. So we will not have a show the week of the 17th.
Correct.
But when you get back, I want a full report.
Oh, we're going to have a big blowout.
Along with an Ecto 35, if you can salvage one.
We'll see.
It is going for $150. But I'm sure you can. You don't need all that plasma, do you?
Nah. I mean, hey, that's why it regenerates.
Exactly. I'm glad we're on the same page here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. I'm out.
All right, guys. Have a good week. We'll talk about something, I'm sure.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.